Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, what's up, everybody? I am Chris. He is VJ. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. You can follow me on social media. I'm at Chris_Broussard, ChrisBroussard68 on Instagram, Chris_Broussard. That's on Twitter. VJ, where can they find you on social media?
If they love Twitter, you can find me on Vesson Sports, V-E-S-N Sports. And if you love me on IG, you can find me at The Big Vanilla Funny, all one word. Spells like it sounds. Spells like it sounds.
All right, that's our man VJ Huskin. And people might not know, now you are a stand-up comic.
Yes.
That's where the Big Vanilla Funny comes
from.
So give us a little, you got any tours coming up or, you know, shows coming up or anything?
Yes, actually there's a brand new comedy club that opened up in Hollywood. I will be at the Comedy Lab in Hollywood on July 31st. Show is at 8 p.m. You guys can hit me up for tics, man. You get 50% off if you come through me. 20 in advance and 30 at the door. I'll be doing a 30-minute set where I'll be talking about my family, my new baby son, and a lot of quarantine jokes that I came up with.
All right, sounds good, man. Now, you know I'm opening a comedy club in New York.
We already, bro, you already know,
Park,
you so already
you,
know
you
what
there.
It is. Vanilla,
right.
Vanilla Bruh Night. Is That's what we
All
got.
Right.
Yeah, Vanilla Bruh Night. Me, you, Pierre, Shang.
Well, I'm not a comedian. I mean, I'm hilarious on the Odd Couple, but I'm not, you know, I don't do stand-up.
I set you up for that one. I knew you was going to take it. I knew you were going to take it.
We got our man E-House, Eddie House, joining us at the bottom of the hour. He lives out there in Phoenix, so... he's probably disappointed, but we'll get the lowdown from him in about 30 minutes. But, of course, we're going to stick with the NBA. It is all NBA finals all the time tonight on the Odd Couple. And after the game, you were speaking with Marcus Johnson about it, VJ,
mm-hmm.
of just how, I mean, Giannis, man, you can't help but like the dude.
Yep.
You can't help but pull for the dude. He's so humble. He's so transparent. And we know the, you know, story that he has. I mean, rags to riches doesn't even do it justice. And so it's great to see a guy like that win. And it's also great to see a guy that, you know, in the super team era, stayed in the smaller market that drafted him, gave him a chance, and he wanted to win a championship for them and delivered without a second superstar. I say he's got a second star, kind of. You not even ready to go there.
Nope.
So that makes it even more impressive. But here's what he said after the game.
Coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believe in me. They believe in us. Even when we were lost, the city still was, like, on our side. And, you know, obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still one. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
Yeah. Now that Woo! Put a lot of people on blast.
Woo!
All right, and I'm going to say this. Giannis did it the old-fashioned way. He did it the way Isaiah Thomas did it in Detroit. The way
yes.
Julius Erving did it in Philadelphia.
Yes.
The way Michael Jordan, of course, did it in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Dirk Nowitzki did it in Dallas. VJ, your thoughts on what Giannis said?
First of all, can I just point out the fact comedically that he's got the best accent in sports? I like anybody that says trust when they put the R and try to roll and they said thrust. Like thrust me, my friend. Somebody came up to you and said thrust me, my friend. You're going to trust that guy just because it sounds cool because the way he just says trust in his accent. But Giannis, man, like there, and it wasn't a bravado way. He was just telling you the real in the way a lot of responsible sports journalists feel is that I'm not changing. changing for the times, okay? If you guys want to root for this stuff, fine. I'm allowed to still want to see somebody build something and grow it and stick through the hard times, go through the losses and injuries in a 7 year, eight. Jordan, would it take him 7 years, 8 years? Took LeBron, Jordan, 8, 9 years, seven, right? And then you finally get that championship. There's a sense to sit there, man, and go, ah, there you go, man. That's how it's done, because nobody gets handed nothing in the blue collar world. We all got to work that way, man. So when you feel that, it's like, whoo, and the way he threw it out there, and I love the way he stopped to say, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but I could go and just do my part and win a championship. I love that because it's true. Like, look at it. LeBron gets knocked for it. KD got killed for it because, you know, it goes to the Warriors 73 win scene the previous year. But you're still going to have the people that defend it. Giannis is like that symbol that he's the face that the league needs right now, because we got to get back to that, Chris, in my opinion. We got to get back to, okay, it's going to take you a minute, man, but trust me, it's going to make the league better overall than watching the same two teams in the finals 4 straight years. Because, you know, what, 8 of the top 15 players playing those two teams. I love that he said it, man. And he didn't do it with bravado, like, in your face. He just did it like, no, this is how I did it. And I told you guys this is how I was going to do it. It's something to be said for that.
It's going to be interesting because, I mean, it is a big split. There are those that hate the super teams, and there are those that like them.
Mm-hmm.
When LeBron went to Miami, when KD went to Golden State, I was one of the few in the national media that didn't kill him, that didn't kill them.
You loved it.
All right? but what'd you say?
I said you loved it.
No, I wouldn't say I loved it. I mean, I was just indifferent to it, but I was like, yo. I mean, I understood the pressure that they felt to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel, and I said this at the time, I felt LeBron sold himself short because I think he could have won in Cleveland. He could have led that team without other stars in Cleveland to the championship. Now, maybe he couldn't have. That, you know, we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he could have. But I'll say this, even though, you know, Kevin Durant gets the credit for his rings, and that's the thing, one of the reasons I didn't kill Durant is because I watched the way people responded to LeBron. And they crushed him when he went to Miami. And then when he won, everybody was giving him praise. Everybody.
Yep.
All the people that crushed him were praising him. Yep. And I said, you know what? When Durant went, I was like, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to be on here killing Kevin Durant when he goes to Golden State. And I said this on SportsCenter. And then in the next 3 years, when he's got at least 2 championships and at least 1 finals MVP, we're going to be praising him.
Yep.
So I said, I'm not doing that. All right? And because he's the same player. But I'll say this, VJ. And LeBron, a lot of their thinking, LeBron was like, look, he tried to get Bosh to Cleveland. He really couldn't get that guy to Cleveland. And he was looking at it like, well, if they not going to build me a team that can win it, then I'm going to have to build it myself. And obviously he did that with Wade and Bosh, and then later on in Cleveland and L.A. now.
Mm-hmm.
But while I don't rip the guys that win it with the super teams, there's no question. I mean, there's no question. Well, let me back up and say this. None of the championships are easy, all right? Even for Miami with the Heat, we saw, I mean, they lost in the first series
mm-hmm.
with Dallas, all right, the first go round. Then they came back and won, and they only won 2 out of 4. Golden State won 2 out of 3, all right, with Durant. We saw Brooklyn this year, the injuries, they go out in the second round. So it's always tough. And even with a super team, when you bring it together, it's easier. But when you bring it together, you do have to get guys on the same page. Guys have to sacrifice. Guys have to play different roles and things like that. So it's always a challenge. But
true.
I don't know how anyone could deny that the more noble route, the more impressive route to a championship is if you win it where you were drafted with whatever players the team gives you. Like, it's more impressive to win with the hand you're dealt than to go and handpick the stars that you want to play with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
If I go to the park and I'm just like, yo, who you want? Yo, give me whoever, man. I don't even care.
Yep.
Give me whoever out here and we win. That's more impressive than if I sit there and watch and see who the three best players are. And then I say, I want him, 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 and him. All right. And then we go win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No.
So that's undeniable.
Well, I agree with you on that. And I was out there. My opinion on the super team has been heard on every platform I've been on. I don't like it. I don't cheer for it. I think it's helped ruin the competitive balance of the league, and I think that's bad for the sport overall. And while all those people loved it, look what we're clamoring for today. Look what we're praising and clamoring for. You can't find any Giannis slander on Twitter, IG, Facebook, Spotify. There's just nobody that's even willing to go there because we all know deep down inside, like I said, most of us, we come from the middle 80%, right? There's the 10% poor, the 10% rich, and then there's the 80% of the rest of us that have to work 9 to 5, have to scratch, claw, grind, hustle every day, take care of your kids, your family, have some fun, go fishing, go do all your extracurricular stuff you want to do, and still try to bring yourself up in life. And that's what we truly in our gut all really appreciate and love, but we get blinded by other things because in the sports, you know, broadcast world, there's people that have praised it and they make different excuses and examples why all of a sudden now Chris Bosh isn't that great. Or, well, Kevin Love was alive. But no, it's still Kevin Love. It's still Chris Bosh. It's still Durant playing with Steph Curry. Like, people started to knock Steph Curry down, the greatest shooter this game's ever seen, to either elevate Durant, or then there was other ways to say, well, he's playing with Steph Curry, to diminish Durant. So it's worked in that facet where I thought it ruined the competitive balance of the league, so I don't like it. I like this.
But here's the thing.
I like this a lot more.
Did it? I like this feeling. I mean, I feel you.
A lot more.
Because in the 90s when Jordan played, it was like everybody had their team. Ewing had the Knicks. Yep. Barkley had the Suns. Malone and Stockton had the Jazz. Olajuwon had the Rockets. Mm. David Robinson had the Spurs. Jordan, of course, had the Bulls.
Shaq
Reggie Miller had the Pacers.
Yeah.
And it was like, yo, let's see who the big dog really is.
Peyton in Seattle. Yep.
But here's what I got to throw at you, though. You say it ruined the competitive balance of the league, mm-hmm. and maybe people don't like it as much. But here's the history, though, VJ. In the 70s, we had more parity than ever. 8 teams won championships in the 10 years of the 1970s.
Okay.
Think about that. 8 teams.
All right.
And that was the worst decade for NBA basketball ever in terms of popularity. That's when everything was on tape delay and all that. And then in the 80s, which was the golden era, brought the league back, you have 5 teams total that not won it, that made the finals. Only 5. And then in the 90s, it was the Bulls and it was the Rockets, right?
Yep.
And then you had the Shaq Kobe 3-peat. Like, the fans, it seems like people like the dynasties. And the only difference, and it's a big difference, but it's the really the only difference between the super teams of today and the super teams of the 80s, because the Celtics were a super team, the Lakers were a super team with Showtime. The only difference is that these teams today are player generated. They're players looking at each other, yo, let's team up because we would be the bomb. Nobody would be able to beat us. And I get that. That's a difference, you know? Mm-hmm. But in the 80s, they still had super teams.
See, I don't...
The era they really didn't have super teams was the 90s. And that's why some people say, well, Jordan, who'd he beat? Well, who'd he have? What? He didn't... Scottie Pippen came out of freaking Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
So you won with, it was like, yo, I got my dogs, you got your dogs, you supposed to be the man, I'm supposed to be the man. Let's strap it up, lace them up, and see who's the baddest.
Yeah, right. I don't agree, though, that those were super teams. And I think that, once again, I think that was another narrative that was created out of these super teams because we had to find a way today, right, to knock down the 80s
Magic,
and the 90s.
Magic, Kareem, and Worthy wasn't a super team?
No, I don't. Once again, by the time Magic got there, first of all, Kareem was hurt like that first year in the finals. We already know that story.
One game.
But if you really go through, once Magic kind of took that team over, Kareem, there was a span, I believe, after after 86 or 80 something. I'm not sure, maybe 85, 86. Kareem didn't even average 10 rebounds a game. Kareem wasn't that same player he was.
But he was still giving you 23 points.
He was, but he still wasn't that player he was in the 60s and the 70s. Okay, so by the time that run really started, I know the name.
No. MVP of the league the first year they won it. I know. In 1980.
That's 80, but I'm talking 4 or 5 years later. That's a 4 or 5 year difference.
Well, the second half of Showtime, they also won it in 82.
Okay.
And Kareem was still great. Now, he was older. I'll give you that. He was diminishing. And then over the second half of the run, he was a great scorer because he still had the sky hook. But he wasn't rebounding. He gave you 6-7 boards a game.
But once again, I still don't think that that was a what we look at today as a super team. That Laker team might be an anomaly. But if you do go look at the Bulls and some of the other teams, especially like during the '90s, those weren't.
No,
super,
the '90s didn't have super teams.
That Pistons team, that wasn't a super team. You talk about a guy taking. You talk about Giannis taking what he's got. Like people need to really go back and look at that Bad Boys team that gets so disrespected. And yes, I'm being a Piston homer right now, and they say the first step to recovery is admitting it, right? Fine. I'm being a Piston homer right now. But go look at what they really gave Isaiah to start with and how they got guys that nobody really wanted.
Nah, he built it like George.
He built that thing from scratch. So
But you don't think the Celtics was a super team either?
No, I don't.
They had three top 50 players of all time.
I know that, and that's just another number, once again, Chris, that we can throw
at
it.
But it's an official number. This is official stuff, though. This ain't just some one radio broadcaster saying it.
I get it, but I also think that people say, you know, women and men lie, numbers don't, but I also got to back into that. Numbers don't always tell the entire truth either, so I just can't live just off the number. You're right, okay, three top 50 players, but if they redid that list right now, Would those three guys still make that top 50 list?
It's 25 years later.
All right, though.
So now the next list they do will probably, I don't know this for a fact, they'll probably do a top 75.
Okay.
Is what they should, and that would be next year. So we'll see. I don't know if they'll do it or not.
That would be cool, though. But yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Some of them would drop off, but some, you know, that's one of Isaiah's claims to fame, is that he beat Magic, Michael, and Larry Bird without another top 50 teammate.
Yeah.
So that's just a number two. So I'm just saying, like, it works both ways.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to the callers, 877-99 on Fox. We want to see what you guys think of Giannis's comments on the super team. What are your thoughts? Do you like it this way better, or do you like the super teams? You want to defend the super teams. Your turn to weigh in with Chris and VJ. 877-99 on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard. VJ Husky's beside me in for Rob Parker. We're coming live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And if you're dealing with a dead battery, you know where to go. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't get upset. Just head on over to AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and even free battery charging. So next time you're having battery trouble, head on over to AutoZone. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. 877-99 on Fox. We got time for a few calls. What do you think about Giannis's comments on the super teams? Are you with him? What you got to say?
I got my man T.Y. out of Hot Palm Springs. Ty out of Hot Palm Springs. Talk to us, Ty, you're live right now on Fox Sports 1, The Odd Couple. More for Giannis, super team. You like the way it was done this way by Giannis?
I'll tell you guys what. This is how I feel as a Laker fan, as a LeBron fan. I could not be happier that Giannis did it the way he did it, that he got it out the mud, because I've watched him fail, right? And there's something about watching somebody fall and get up and fall and get up and fall and get up, like you guys have been saying, is just so truly American. But on the other side of it, what I do like about this new era is say you got an all-time talent, Devin Booker. Let's use Devin Booker as an example. I think he'll end up being one of those all-time talents. And if they didn't have Chris Paul, and Robert Sarver is just Robert Sarver and doesn't spend any money, then from that guy's perspective, do you allow your career to be diminished
right.
by an organization who would ship you off? You know, who would willingly
that's
give
fair. That's
you
a good point.
You
Very
off.
Fair.
Right. Nah, look, because there's some bad GMs.
Yep.
And there's some bad owners.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, if you don't win a championship, people talk about Charles Barkley not winning a ring, right? They don't talk about whoever the owner of the Suns was at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree.
They talk about Patrick Ewing not winning the championship, not the owner of the Knicks. That's where I do like, I'm with the call, I do like the player empowerment. From that standpoint,
I think it's a very valid point. But when it comes to Patrick Ewing, I do think we blame the ownership. I think we're at that point now where we kind of look at it.
But
we go,
this
yeah.
is different ownership.
Yeah James true. You know what? You're yeah. right. You're absolutely right. That was Pop.
But they never gave him like a perennial all-star when he was in his prime.
No. They gave him Gerald at one point, but Gerald was supposed to be the Jordan stopper. We saw how that ended in Cleveland.
Gerald
was
a good player. He wasn't a star.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's how they tried to build it, though, with Wilkins. Didn't mean to mess up your name there, Ty. We'll go to Al from D-Town up in Detroit. Al, you're live right now, Fox Sports Radio with Chris Broussard and VJ Vernon. You like the way Giannis did it, or you like the super team?
Oh, I'm all the way in with Giannis. I truly believe that that the balance of the smaller market teams is just the way how it goes. And I want to say this, DJ, better days are coming because we're getting Kay Cunningham, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, I truly believe that organizations
It'd be nice.
That win
It'd
that
be
way.
Nice to see Detroit get better.
Yeah.
Oh, we on the way up, but definitely.
We need it. We need it.
I'm telling you, it's just better that things that.
Mason.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's just better for teams to win it through that way. Because even you can look at Kevin Durant, for example, because if he won his championship, okay, so you can't tell me it won't hit better if he won it there versus winning in Golden State. So I truly believe that having every team balanced out just makes it a better league and makes it a better NBA, period.
Yeah, all championships are hard-earned and respected, but all are not created equal. And people, look, everybody would tell you, LeBron's championship in Cleveland means more than the two in Miami. There's no doubt.
Yes.
You know, it just that's just the way it is. I think Steph's first championship means more than the two he won with Durant. Not that those two don't mean anything, but when you look at, you know, the more difficult road, that's what I'm talking about. All right. We got Eddie House coming up. We will continue this conversation with him in a moment. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
That's right. NBA champion, NBA sharpshooter, Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst. Eddie House, what's up, brother?
What's going on? How you doing, brother?
I'm good. We got VJ Husky in for Rob, who's on vacation. But look. You live in Phoenix. I assume you were pulling for the Suns. Is that the case? And what do you think kind of did them in after going up 2-0?
Well, that was the case. I do live here in Phoenix, and I played for the Suns, went to the Western Conference Finals with the Suns. I definitely wanted to see them win with my heart, but my eyes and my mind was telling me from seeing how the games were going, they couldn't keep Milwaukee off the glass was going to make it real tough. So, yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow for the city of Phoenix right now. People out here are really bummed out about it. But the one thing that they can say is that at the end of the day, that Milwaukee was the better team, and it is no slight to Phoenix. Milwaukee's been knocking on the door. They've been right there. They had a 2-0 lead and blew it before. And so – it was their time. And hopefully for, the Phoenix Suns fans and for the Phoenix Suns organization, it's a building block to move forward because you got a lot of young players over there that got some great experience at an early stage in their career.
Eddie House, VJ Vernon Husky, the Big Vanilla Funny here, man. First of all, big fan of yours, not only because of your play, but I just got to tell you, you had the freshest waves in like the NBA for like 12 years. I knew you was going to like that because we, brothers, we're attached to our hair. You had the freshest waves, dog. I was like, yo, does he sleep with a durag on? How does he do that with the waves? But I want to ask you a question because I consider you from like the generation before this generation is where I would put you, coming out of Arizona State and seeing you drafted and then coming to the league and doing your thing as a sharpshooter. We've been talking about super team versus the way the grind mode, the way Giannis did it. And, just your opinion on that and how you view that, being a former player now sitting back looking at the league saying, hey, it's cool, they could do what they want to do, or yeah, I did kind of like it that way.
Well, I tell you, this is not the only team to do it like this, being constructed through draft and free agency. Remember, Golden State won it with right. Draymond, yeah. with Clay, and with Steph, through the draft and through free agency, bringing Andre Iguodala. So this is not anything that's new. It's just new to what we have been accustomed to, seeing guys going and joining up. So it's almost it's refreshing for the basketball purists, because everybody feel like, hey, man, it's easy to go team up. And it really is not. It really is not easy to just go team up and go win it. But it makes your odds a lot better for you to have the opportunity to win it when you go do that. So it was kind of a breath of fresh air to see these teams who have done it, the traditional way with draft and trusting the process and also understanding that, hey, man, I don't have to go somewhere. I feel like I'm good enough to where a team can be built around me and we could still win it. So it was good. I think the playoffs overall was one of the better playoffs that I've seen and I can remember in a long time.
Yeah.
And even this finals, it was attrition of two teams trying to figure it out, a team that finally got over the hump to get into the finals and a team that was, lost in playoff lure. Like, where was the last time 10 years that they have been in the playoffs to be in the finals? And they did it being a team, well-coached, I think a real well-ran organizations on both sides. So it was really good to see, man, and I was tuned in to every second, and I loved every minute of it.
Giannis not only had the incredibly dominant game six, but it was just a dominant series. I mean, he had the two 40-point games, the iconic block, iconic alley-oop. I mean, it was just – he was breaking records left and right. It was ridiculous. Now the talk is he the best player in the world? Where are you at on that?
Stop it. Stop the press. Stop it. Come on, man. Like, let's not – we become prisoners of the moment. We hear that all the time. But that is exactly the definition of being a prisoner of the moment, to say that Giannis is the best player. I still lean to LeBron James and Kevin Durant as being the two best players in the NBA. Now, is he the best player on the best team who won the championship? Yeah, I can give him that. Is he one of the top five players in the league? Yes, I can give him that. Chris and BJ, just imagine if he had a mid-range jump shot. He probably would have had 70 last night.
Well, see, what I'm wondering, Eddie, because what I liked about him in the finals was that he played to his strengths,
yep.
which was dominating the interior. And, when he was on the perimeter, he made the right reads. He made the right passes. And if he plays like that, he wasn't running the point. He wasn't a point forward anymore. I'm like, if he plays like that, then the lack of a jump shot is not as big of a detriment, because I think he used to play to his weaknesses, whereas he played to his strengths in this series. And if he does that, then I think he could be the best player in the world.
I'll give you pushback on that only reason because I think he done everything fantastic in this finals, and he took exactly what they gave him. Think about how many times he caught the ball at the top of the key, and DeAndre Ayton was either between the dots, at the dots, under the free throw line, and allow Giannis to come down with a full head of steam. There was no wall built for him. there was no resistance for him when he caught the ball. He didn't have to make a secondary move or one move to a secondary move to get to the basket. It was straight down the line. I'll make a sidestep, make you react to that, and then I'm going up. I'm 7 feet tall. I'm just as long as you. I think that is where he did play to his strengths, where he didn't say, okay, you're laying off and I'm going to take these jump shots. He took up that space. I believe that you have to guard him up there. But who can guard him with his skill set? I mean, with his size and his skill set, it puts a lot of people in bad predicaments. So you look at DeAndre Ayton not used to guarding a guy that can really break you down off the dribble from that far. So the matchup was phenomenal, but let's not get it twisted. I think you could put KD on him, and KD could give him some problems. I think you could put LeBron on him, and LeBron could give him some problems. And on the reverse side of that, when he has to guard one of those or both of those guys, they definitely going to give him problems as well. So I don't want to anoint him as the best player in the league, but I can say he was the best player in this year's NBA Finals. And I'm saluting him, taking my hat off to him, because he did a phenomenal job. And without him, Milwaukee wouldn't have a championship.
Eddie, a quick question about just this Bucks team. They have that core, Holiday, Giannis, and Middleton, all locked up for the next 4 to 5 years. I mean, that core, and you can always add a piece. I love Brooke as their big man who can step out and hit the three, and he has some games where he had 30-point playoff games for them when on nights they really needed it. How far can this Bucks team go? Or is this going to be like a Dallas Maverick thing we look at 5-6 years from now and like, yeah, they got that one, but then the Nets got healthy, or, you know, Philly made a Ben Simmons trade, or Ben Simmons started to shoot the ball and they came back around. Are we seeing something here? Where do you think they can go from here?
I think they're going to be a fixture. They have been a fixture for the last few years. They've been knocking on the door. They finally got to the finals. When they got to the finals, they closed the door and said, hey, man, we're the champs. But they've been right there. They've had every opportunity to move forward in playoff situations. And so I think that they will be fixtures. I think the Drew Holiday signing and paying them that money, people probably looked at it a little sideways and crooked, but it's paying off. I think he did a fantastic job defensively. And you look at the stat sheet, he didn't shoot the basketball well, but he was in the building. And he made an effect on that basketball game, especially the closeout game last night is what I'm talking about. So I think they'll be there. But let's be honest. A real healthy Brooklyn Nets team is extremely tough to deal with. A healthy Lakers team is extremely tough to deal with. So I think that they'll be there, but they'll have to climb, you know, even higher mountains than they climbed this year to get to to win the championship.
That's our man, Eddie House, NBA champion, Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst. We appreciate the time, man. I don't know if we get you next week with the season ending, but if we don't, man, have a great off season, and we will talk to you soon, my man.
For sure. It's all love, man. Y'all enjoy.
Appreciate it, Waves. Right, I call him Waves. Appreciate it, Waves.
Yeah, Waves to the Bay.
That's Waves right there.
That's our man. We got Shop Talk up next. Keep it locked. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and VJ, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And it is time for Shop Talk.
It is Shop Talk, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, a segment where we discuss something that happened outside of the world of sports. And this week we decided to make an exception because something happened that was so egregious, and it was actually right up this show's alley because we are hosted by two very reputable reporters in the sports media game, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. VJ, I don't know if you saw this, but Deion Sanders in a little bit of hot water this week.
Yes.
Because at the media days, he got really upset with the reporter for calling him Deion. So first off, we try to make light of it and say, hey, you wouldn't call Nick Saban Nick, so treat me with that same level of respect. Don't call me Deion. And the reporter says, okay, Deion. And then Coach Sanders immediately leaves the media availability, and that's the end of it. So, Chris, again, you are a seasoned reporter. Your thoughts on the don't call me Deion situation?
these are my thoughts. I think Deion made a mistake here, and I'm going to assume it was one of two reasons. One, he felt like or feels like the media is not giving him the respect or treating his coaching career seriously. Or two, or maybe both, he thinks he took it as a racial thing. Like, you wouldn't call Nick Saban Nick, but you calling me Deion. The bottom line is he's flat out wrong. Because reporters more often than not call coaches by their first name. And when I covered the Cavaliers, I was in my 20s and I'm covering Mike Fratello as the coach. I called him Mike. When I covered the Knicks, I called Jeff Van Gundy Jeff. At Doc Rivers, Doc. When I was doing sidelines with Greg Popovich, I called him Pop. You know, I mean, there were times occasionally on sideline reporting, I might say, Coach, what do you think about this or that? But for the most part, you're calling him by a nickname, John Calipari. I called him Cal when I covered the Nets. You know, like, so Deion's just flat out wrong. And so I don't know why he was responding like this. And what does he want media to call you? Coach Sanders? I mean, coach, like, the media is on an equal level with the coach. The media don't play for the coach. The media aren't under the coach. The media don't work for the coach. And you want the coach to understand we're peers. I'm not writing what you want me to write. I'm not saying what you want me to say necessarily. I might agree with you on stuff here or there, but I'm going to say what I want to say and write what I want to write. And so Deion's just flat out wrong. Where you at, VJ, on this?
I'm with you. He is dead wrong on this. And, you know, this is ego. There's not been an athlete with Deion Sanders is with his ego. And we've seen it on every level he's been on, whether he was on over NFL Network and it just everywhere he is, it's a me, and it's an I thing. And I don't know if a color card is being played here. We had that same issue last time you and I on air together about Jalen Rose. Everything doesn't have to be a color card. We have to kind of get right past that. And there's a clip that comes out at the SEC Media Day where Nick is called Nick like nine straight times by nine people in the media. And I'm a young budding sports journalist and sports broadcast journalist, and I learn a lot from you and Rob. And the one thing is that you be yourself and you respect the industry and you respect the people that you're dealing with, and respectfully calling you by your first name is that's respect. Like you said, I just did NFL Hall of Fame interviews. I just talked to Peyton Manning last week. I talked to Charles Woodson. I talked to Steve Hutchinson, Flores, all the guys going into the hall. I had media availability and credentials with the NFL this past week, and I called Peyton. I called Charles. I called John Lynch, John. I didn't call them Mr. Woodson. Excuse me. We're almost the same age, bro. Like, you know, I'm with you on it. This is so much ego, and he needs to get over himself, man. He is making this about himself with everything with the school he's coaching. Somebody name me one player other than his son on the team. Exactly.
Exactly. Rob G, where you at on this?
I tend to agree with you guys. I will say this, though. It is eerily similar to when I first met Chris, and he said, it's not Chris Broussard, it's Chris Broussard. And that was like a thing for a long time. So
did I really say that?
No.
It sounds like something you would sounds say, like
though.
Him.
No, my father told me. See, it's I Broussard, told you, boy. It ain't Broussard. It's Broussard.
And Deion said it's not Deion. Okay, it's Coach. So it's the same thing.
Nah, that ain't the same thing.
That ain't close.
He tripping. But we'll give him a slide on this one. All right, an hour left of the iCouple. Keep it locked.